Right, if you want to get your Bibles out to Luke chapter number 19 tonight. If any gentlemen are interested, on Sunday mornings we meet early to pray. And if you're interested, you know, I know we're having special meetings this week. If you'd like to meet Sunday morning, if you want to get here about 9:15, we usually try and get here around 8:30, 9:15. By 9:15, we're usually praying. And if you are interested in doing that, we meet every week. But again, for a special meeting like this, if you'd like to meet with us here, and we just kind of break up into small groups, and usually two groups, depending on how many young people are here. But again, if that's something you're interested in, this Sunday, Luke chapter number 19 tonight. Luke 19, the Bible says in verse 45, and he went into the temple and he began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Have you heard this story before? Sure, right? Man, it always cuts my heart, and it makes me evaluate, right? Like, have I done this? Like, have I... we don't see the Lord getting too upset. He deals with quite a bit between sinners and all of that, and then you see him getting something bothering him. Man, I don't want to be on that end of it. And here it says, saying unto them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And immediately, I think we should take some inventory. Have we done that? Have we taken what God has designed and altered it to our, and here what do we see? Altered it to our convenience and benefit. He got upset with not just those that were selling, but those that bought also. He kicked them all out. You're all a mess. Verse 47, he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him, and he could not find what they might do. For all the people were very attentive to hear him. Reading through this, it just kind of describes to us what the house of the Lord should be used for. And I see three things in this passage. We kind of, each Wednesday night, kind of looking at a different story through Luke 19. But I wanted to jump ahead a little bit. We'll probably, the next couple weeks or so, go back a little bit. But tonight, looking at this, what the house of the Lord ought to be. Number one, and first and foremost, it looks like the thing that really brought attention to this is found in verse 46, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer. We designate some time Wednesday nights for praying together. We call it a prayer meeting, and we treat it as a prayer meeting. And there's some things, if we look over that list, sometimes it's, pray for comfort for a little boy who had to put his dog down, and sometimes we're praying for someone who's got cancer and it needs to be saved, and everything in between. And the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter number 3, some things that we should be praying for. Number one, salvation of people. That's a good thing, to pray for people to be saved. Why is that? Well, here's God's design. Here's God's plan. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is willing, God desires, as we said, not one person that has ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ did God turn away. And God is willing that all would come to him. Are we praying? Are we doing what we could do to help reach them? What's your prayer list look like? What names are on there? Who are you praying to be saved? I know, I just think back of, you know, those years ago as Ed had shared testimony of his brother praying for him to be saved, showing up at his door with tears in his eyes in anguish over his brother's soul. Who stirs in your heart? Hey, if this is designated, God says, this is what this place ought to be. This is what it ought to be used for. This ought to be the house of prayer. Are we praying for people to trust Christ? That ought to be some of our prayer time. As we go through these things, look at 3 John. 3 John Number one, salvation. Certainly there's illnesses, and we're about to talk about that, but I don't think there's a request that is more serious and more important than the salvation of somebody. Because the body's going to break down. It's going to happen. Eventually, we're all going to see the same end, but the question is, what happens after that? Are we praying for people to be saved? You know, here's what I think praying for people to be saved does for us. The way I can illustrate it, and I was thinking about this afternoon, when you buy a vehicle, all of a sudden you realize how many of those vehicles are on the road, right? You see them. All of a sudden it's like, I've never seen these before, and now everybody owns one. You know, when we're praying for people to be saved, it just opens up our awareness of the lost that are around us. It doesn't change God's will, it changes us. And if we dedicate some time to the Lord in prayer over, if this place is a place where the saints gather to pray for the lost, that, again, God isn't more willing or less willing, but maybe we're more aware. Aware of those opportunities. All right, number two. Now, as we pray, what are we praying for? We're praying for salvation. In the house of the Lord, he says, this ought to be a house of prayer. What can we pray for? We can pray for salvation. Number two, we can pray for physical healing. It says in 3 John verse 1, the elder under the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Hey, there's nothing wrong with praying for someone to get better. That's okay. Lord, help them to... we were at the Parrot's house today and stopped over and saw them. And Mrs. Parrot stood up, met us at in the room. And we were like, whoa, is this all right? And she's like, yeah. And she testified, thank you so much. I went into surgery. It was an operating room. There were tools in there that would give you nightmares. And she's like, I just had, right? She just had a peace and a calm. She's like, I felt the prayers of the saints. Hey, that thou mayest prosper and be in health. I don't know what's going to happen with little Autumn. I can't change any of that, but I can pray for her physically. But not just physically. Look at Isaiah chapter 41. This is what the house of the Lord ought to look like. A house of prayer. A place where people gather together to pray for the salvation of the lost. Pray for healing. In Isaiah 41 and verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Hey, there's a healing not just in physical things, but spiritually speaking also. We pray for the lost, but are we praying for not just physical things, but hey, some people are going through some rough times in life. Hey, let me remind you that the Lord is there and he can, by his right hand, hold you up. That's available, but are we praying for the healing of that? Matthew chapter number 6. I have 3 points tonight, so I'm going to try and move through these a little quickly here. But there's 3 points. Number one, the house of the Lord ought to be a house of prayer. And what are we praying for? We're praying for salvation. We're praying for healing. We're praying for, I think this is a good one to pray for. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation. Lord, keep me, deliver me from evil. Hey, this is the model here. Not that we recite these exact words, but Lord, keep my heart and mind clean. I want to be sanctified. I want to be separated. I know I'm in myself. I am just common, unclean thing. God, I want to be used in your hand, but I know you use holy things. God, help me to stay clean. Help me to stay clean in my mind. Help me to stay clean in my heart. Hey, that's a good thing to pray for. Why? Because temptation's out there. Temptation's real. And it affects everybody differently. Everybody from this side to that side struggle with different things. But there is a sin which does so easily beset us. And if this place is designated as a house of prayer, I don't think it's too awful to, as the Lord led us to pray for certain things, that God would lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, help me to identify what's going to hurt me and stay away from that thing. Have the strength, the attitude of, no, this isn't going to leave me better than it found me. Acts chapter 13. How about this? Acts 13. You know, seems like since COVID, maybe the last 3 years or so, I don't know what's changed about Christianity. I mean, we saw, Mrs. Buck, what was the thing on that the screen today? The world is changing, but the message hasn't. And it's sad. The world is changing. And it's not getting better. But in the office, you know what I get a lot less calls for? I don't get calls from missionaries like I used to anymore. I know the ones that we support are doing everything they can to get to the field, but I'm getting less and less calls from people, from guys that have just surrendered and gone. Hey, if this place is going to be a house of prayer, yes, we pray for salvation. Yes, we pray for healing, physical and spiritual. Yes, to lead us not into temptation. But Acts chapter 13, now there were in the church that was at Antioch, verse 1, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. Lastly, and there's a lot of things we can pray for, but are we praying that God would allow us to take a step of faith for Him? God, lead me in the next step. Call me out of the boat, would you? Or are we just getting comfortable right here? A house for the Lord. A house for the Lord ought to be a house that is saturated with prayer. Prayer for the lost. Prayer for healing. Prayer to deny temptation, but a prayer praying that, God, would you allow me to go to those that have never heard? Go back with me to Luke chapter number 19. Not only is it a house of prayer, but look at this. In verse 47, and he taught daily in the temple. God's house was designated as a house of prayer, but also a house for preaching. Lord Jesus Christ taught daily in the temple. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. I hate to even say these words because Brother Rice is going to give me a hard time, but I think something's up with my computer. I think I got some malware on it, on my Mac. I'm sorry, it's a dumb thing. And I feel like what it needs is just to be reprogrammed. And you know, preaching does that. It helps us with this. When we have philosophies that are contrary to the Word of God, you put yourself underneath the preaching of the Word of God, and God has a way of changing your thought process. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Hey, daily Christ walked into the temple and he taught and preached. Hey, the house of the Lord ought to be a place for preaching. to rewrite our programming in our mind. That we would do away with worldly philosophy and see what God has for us. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Lord, help us with rewriting our mind. Preaching is helpful. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Why do we bring in Brother King and Brother Thren? And because the preached word of God is a help and encouragement to us. It offers help. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The preaching of the word of God is helpful. It's helpful in our homes. It's helpful to our faith, as we just saw in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. It offers counsel. It's amazing. Sometimes you get to thinking that all is well, and all of a sudden you see a passage and go, I never heard that before, or I forgot about that. We were doing some staff training today, and we were reminded of the importance of unity, and that joy comes from the Lord. Nothing that we hadn't heard before, but it was a good reminder. If I said 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, some of you could even quote that verse. But the preached word of God is a help to us. See, my kids, you know what they need? They need the preaching of the word of God. They need the word of God demonstrated in their life. This house ought to be a house of preaching. It gives us direction. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 4. It reminds us in verse 12. It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Hey, the word of God ought to have a significant role in the house of the Lord. Prayer and preaching. What does it give us? It gives us direction. I don't know what to do with my life. Well, here, let me help you. This is what God says. Yeah, but is there our young people at school, and naturally so, and I'm sure we all did the same thing, look for shortcuts in their education. I don't want to do it that way, but I want the right end result. I'm sorry. This is the way to do it. And sometimes we come to the Lord with the same approach. God, I see what you're saying. I don't want to do it that way, but I want the blessings of it. Sorry, that's not how it works. You humble yourself, you yield yourself to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God and to the Word of God. God says, I have things for you that you couldn't even imagine. It gives us direction. It provides conviction. It provides a cleansing. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The preached word of God helps us clean up. It convicts us of our sin. I can tell you how many countless times people after the service have come and talked to me or something, and you can tell something's up in their heart, and you okay? And yeah, the Lord's just really talking to me about, and they'll share a topic. I say, that wasn't one of my points. But it was just a phrase or thought, and all of a sudden the Lord started working. What was it? It was just the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. And sometimes that's why we don't walk through the door. Because we know that there's things in our heart that just, I don't want to disturb. I would like to pretend that they're not there. I'll just watch online. Again, I'm thankful for the technology, but the better place to be is in the church house. Hey, this upcoming week, there's going to be some really good preaching. as opposed to tonight and Sunday. And Brother King is—he's a real blessing. And you come looking for a blessing, you know where you're going to find a blessing. Amen. This house ought to be a house of prayer. It ought to be a house of preaching. But thirdly, go back with me to Luke chapter number 19. There was one more. Well, there's probably a couple more. I like that the world didn't like what was going on when Jesus was around. I think that's how it ought to be. If you, as a Christian, can get along and get on with the world, man, are we really living our faith? But that's not the third point. The third point was this. In verse 48, and could not find what they... And did I say 38? I want 48. Whatever verse you're at, Luke chapter 19, verse 48. And could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. The house of the Lord ought to be filled with prayer. It ought to be filled with preaching, but it ought to be filled with people. For all the people were very attentive to hear him. That's what he desired there. There's two types of people that will walk through this door. Lost and saved. The lost people, look at Mark. Mark, chapter 1, verse 15. We don't want lost people. We want lost people in church. That's why Mr. Lauk, no, I'm just kidding. Mr. Lauk, how old were you when you got saved? How old were you when you got saved? Yeah, product of the bus ministry over at First Bible Baptist Church. Awesome. There you go. Wonderful. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. That's why we invite lost people to come to church, to hear the gospel. Say, I'm not good at talking to people. Invite them to church. Mark chapter 1, verse 15, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Hey, there's some lost people that need to hear the gospel. Lost people coming into church, again, the house of the Lord ought to be filled with prayer, ought to be filled with preaching, but ought to be filled with people. There's two types of lost people. Those that are wandering and searching for the Lord, and those that are, I wrote these two words, adverse and contentious. We will experience both. Some come with a broken heart and just can't get to the altar fast enough. And then there's some that sit there like this. You ain't going to bless me in any way. I'm here for my mom, and this is it. All set. So what do we do with that? Well, we just water a little bit. We be kind. And we let the Word of God penetrate their hearts. And we try and make it easy for them to come back again. There's two types of lost people. Those that are searching and those that are contentious. Hey, you've been both. Grandma or mom or dad or so, your friend might have dragged you to church and you want to have anything to do with it until the Lord broke your heart and then you couldn't get back fast enough. Lord willing, we'll see both. I'd love to just be a stop. I can't wait for heaven. Came in just for one service, but years later, the Lord used this and used that and used Walker Bible Baptist Church and used this place. And then by the end, man, I can't wait to hear all those stories. People. Church house ought to be filled with people. Not just lost people, but saved. And there's a wide range of saved people. 1 Peter chapter number 2, go there. We're almost done. 1 Peter chapter number 2. I say less, we're almost done for you, but those that are looking at me in the hall. All right. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Hey, a young person or a newly saved person, you know what? They need a place to learn the word of God. This place ought to be filled with people that have been saved for decades and minutes. and everything in between. What does a newly saved person need? They just need to hear the teaching of the Word of God. There's some people that need to be discipled. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 2, right? And the things, 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's not the newborn babe. That's someone that's been down the road a little bit, has learned the scriptures a little bit. They're looking for the someone to teach the Word of God to. There ought to be teachees and teachers, or students and teachers of the Word of God. Hey, if you're saved here and you're looking for an opportunity to get involved, let me know. The church house ought to be filled with people. Why? Because the truth is preached and taught here. Praise the Lord. And not just here, but in the church. The house for the Lord ought to be characterized by prayer, by preaching, and by people. I understand there's ministries and things, man, they have a group of 10, and the Lord meets with them. Praise the Lord. I invite you to invite people to church. Where do you get the most help in your life? Through the Word of God. Brother Lauk prayed it tonight. This isn't just a church, it's a family. Well, the more family you have, you're going to have more of those weird uncles and cousins and stuff. Yeah, I get it. But we're called to reach the lost for Christ. It's okay for a lost person to come into church. What better place for them to hear the gospel? You come in here and you don't know stuff, that's okay. You'll catch on. You'll start learning that Timothy's in the New Testament and Psalms are in the Old, and you get your little tabs out and going through. And sometimes when you're first learning it, it's just, I'm not going to turn to any passages. I'm just going to try and grab whatever I can. And then eventually you're turning and seeing the verses and you're reading and studying and asking questions. That's great. And then all of a sudden you're a teacher. And that's not for me. That's what we've been called to do. The things that we ought to go do to someone else. Someone took the time to disciple you. Someone took the time to invest the Word of God into your life. Hey, that's what happens here in these classrooms, that's what happens. The house of the Lord ought to be filled with three things: prayer, preaching, and people. And how do you fulfill that? How do you do? What are you praying for? Hey, when the church doors are open, are you here? Are you inviting others to come? Let's all stand. We had a day of fasting and prayer today, designated for the special meetings that we have up and coming. Yeah, I think that's a worthwhile investment of prayer. I told Brother King that, and he was touched to his heart about hearing that. Could you imagine, as you're an evangelist now and you travel from meeting to meeting to meeting, when we saw him, Brother Seatman, maybe a month or so ago, I forget how many days it's been since he had been home. And that's a long time. It was like 40 days or something like that. Could you imagine walking into a meeting, though, knowing that the church was fasting and praying that God would use that person to, through the Word of God, to touch their heart? Man, that's a blessing. It was an encouragement to him. Praise the Lord for that. I pray that you'd consider that. Consider what the church is for: praying, preaching, and people. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for an opportunity to be able to open up your Word again. Lord, thank you how it, Lord, just cuts to our heart. Thank you for that. I ask you, watch over us now, protect us as we travel home. Thank you again for the beautiful day. God, in anticipation already of what you're going to do here in this next coming week, Lord, I just want to thank you already. Thank you that we could hold such special meetings like this and, God, rally together to sing praises unto you and hear your word preached. Lord, help meet our needs. Lord, you know them better than what we even know. Lord, I pray that maybe someone lost would come. Lord, maybe someone that's just barely holding on. Lord, I pray that they'd come and get an encouragement to continue on for a little bit longer. Lord, watch over us now and protect us as we travel. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a good night.